earlier today on our station on another show, Jameer, Quentin Richardson was on, and he and, of course, Darius Miles with the podcast that they've got going right now, talking about the return to play, the bubble down in Orlando. Obviously, you know the area well from your days with the Magic. Jameer, how do you feel that this will or won't work in terms of the success that the NBA is certainly hoping for, keeping the guys safe while trying to get the game and the league back going again?
Well, I think it'll work if guys abide by the rules and what the regulations are. You know, it's tough to get all 300-plus guys to buy into whatever the NBA and Player Association has come up with. But, you know, for the most part, you know, it's going to be trial and error, just like anything else that's going on in this world right now. We don't know how it's going to go. We don't know if it's going to have a positive effect, negative effect. You know, I know for all the basketball heads out there that are extremely happy to play and extremely happy to watch basketball itself. As I'm in the gym right now with my son. Just staying around the game is something that is important to me. But, you know, I was asked multiple times what I've played if would I be in the bubble this year if I was still playing. And I just don't know. It's no right or wrong answer. Like I said a couple of seconds ago, it's trial and error with everything right now.
Jameer, you think that trial and error is going to – and you've been big in the Players Association. Do you think it might translate over to the CBA where if it looks like we're going to be going down a certain road with, you know, fewer fans in the stands or fewer ticket sales and a shrinking of BRI, of basketball-related income, that all of a sudden, you know, CBA negotiations change. You know, deals get reopened and – sides are asking for things that they didn't ask for before because of the way the economics are. I know you've been in on those meetings. Do you see some of that potentially cropping up?
Yeah, I do. I do, because owners are going to try to protect themselves and players are going to try to protect themselves. It's only a handful of guys, no matter what would have happened, I think, during the course of this year, if it would have been canceled fully. Like, I think it's Rich Paul guys that would have got all their paycheck worth, like 95% of their check. So guys are going to try to get stuff in their next contract as well as the owners. I mean, they're going to try to put pandemic, stuff in their contract some way, one way or another, when the CBA comes up, as owners and players have to do that as well. So it's going to affect, when you talk about BRI, it's going to affect paychecks for sure, because when you don't have fans, you don't have people sitting in them seats. They're going to have to find a way to make money by streaming games and from different networks and different situations. I mean, you don't have concessions and stuff like that, but the one thing that we do have is online betting. So I think that's going to be something that people may move to try to create a little more revenue stream for all sports.
I'm just going to say before I ask my next question, Jameer, as a couple of hoop heads on the line, myself and Jonesy, I like just hearing the ball in the background and the squeaking of the shoes. It's making me want that game back even quicker.
We're getting this work in, man. We got to, you know, I have a son that's an upcoming sophomore at George Washington University in D.C., so no days off for him right now. We've got a gym and we're in here working.
You know what? I'm going to take this in a different direction then for a second. As a former player, but as a father, how have you handled the not just the pandemic, but everything that's been happening in the world right now, socially, politically, everything in terms of trying to be a mentor, a father figure on the court, off the court for your son that I'm sure, like a lot of young men and women right now, confused by the world in terms of the direction that we are heading?
Well, the one thing you have to do as a parent is lead your family. You and your husband and a parent, you lead your family, and you have to learn and you have to teach. And that's one thing I've been trying to do with my kids. I've always tried to learn things and try to get better in my approach with my kids and how to deal with society. Because one thing, as an African-American, I had to tell my kids how I grew up, where I grew up from, and no matter where you grew up at and who your friends are, you're African American, and you're going to look like an African American when you step outside of your house, and people are going to treat you that way. And you just have to know what you are and what you're up against when those challenges that occur. When you know, because something's going to happen to my kids. Just trying to prepare them for that situation, whether it's getting pulled over by the cops, because I have a son that drives, whether it's being followed in a store, how to react as African American. You have to react a little different when those situations occur.
Jameer, do you think that some of the coaches who weren't sensitive to that will become more sensitive, or coaches that that taught you that kind of stuff? I mean, I think about where you grew up in Philly, and I know they were a rival, but the crosstown rival, John Chaney at Temple, and the way he was a strict disciplinarian. He was a guy that there was a no nonsense guy. Do you think coaches might kind of look at that a little bit more and start teaching or considering that a bit more in their teachings, in their coachings, in recruiting? Are those things that you think coaches will pay more attention to now as we move forward with where we are in society?
Fellas, I lost you for a second. I don't know what happened. I heard somebody else talking in the background. Can you repeat the question, please?
All right. I was talking about where you grew up in Philly, and I know he was a crosstown rival, but Coach Chaney at Temple, he was a no-nonsense guy, and he taught his guys along the same lines the way you're teaching your son around it's a game, but get your education, you're African-American, all of these things. How much do you think coaches will be more in tune with that, even if they weren't before, because of where we are in society?
Well, I think the most important thing is, like I said, as a coach of any level, you should be teaching these kids how to grow. And, Coach Chaney wasn't my coach, but he was well-respected around the world by all athletes just because of his legacy. And he's a guy, like you said, African-American, and did things in a way where he made sure African-American players were aware that they were African-American. And some you see certain situations going on in the country with some college coaches. I just read something about Pat Cameron and one of his players. It's unfortunate things that happen and certain things being said to kids where you don't even recognize that Pat Cameron may not have even recognized that he was in the wrong, but he was totally wrong for saying what he said about the kid. I guess he said something like, I don't know all in particular, so I don't want to speak out of turn, but it had something about a noose. It had something to do with the noose in the sentence that he said to a kid. And you can't say that to an African-American kid. An African-American can't say that to an African-American. So a white American definitely can't say that to an African-American.
Speaking with Jameer Nelson, longtime NBA player, former NBA All-Star as well, spent obviously the bulk of his career with the Orlando Magic. Jameer, when we look back on the floor, and we talked off the top there about the bubble scenario and the resumption of play, if we can talk just purely basketball for a second and keep our fingers crossed that everybody stays safe and healthy and this plan goes without a hitch, do you see a team that has a leg up over another? Is there a team or two that you feel enters this resume season with more of a chance, or is this kind of a clean slate, a fresh slate for a lot of teams, especially with no fans, with so much time off, and could this be the one year where we maybe see the potential for more upsets than ever before?
Well, I think we definitely have the opportunity to see more upsets, but when it comes to winning the championship, it's one of three teams that can actually do it, in my opinion, and it's both teams in L.A. and I think Boston. I think Boston in the East has the most depth and young depth, and that's, it's all versatility. All those guys are versatile in their style of play. You got Brown, Tatum, Smart. You got don't forget about Gordon Hayward. And then you got Kemba Walker that I think falls in the category, in my opinion, of a smaller guard. And he gets forgotten about a lot when it comes to being a star. I think he's a star in the league, and I think he's helped carry that team to where they are or what they did this year. But it's one of three teams, in my opinion. And nobody's going to have, and I don't think anybody's going to have an upper hand because everybody's in that same situation. But out in LA, you got three of the best players in the world in LeBron, AD on the same team, and then you got Kawhi. So those three guys right there, I think just them alone will help their team advance past certain teams in the playoffs. But both of those teams has done a great job of putting pieces around their star players.
Jameer, I'm going to ask you about Toronto because there's a guy who's leading Toronto who's a Philly kid like you, and his play, his will to win, his energy rubs off on other people and makes them better. And where do you value championship experience with a guy like Lowry, who's a leader, and the entire Raptor team? You know, there's another guy who's cutting your image on that team, Fred VanVleet, undersized. Yep. People, you know, probably sold him short the same way they – I remember when you were coming out in the draft and Eric and I were on the show, I said, I'd draft the point guard. I'd take Nelson if he was there. But I look at Toronto, and they've got guys cut in that same image, and I wonder what kind of chance you would give them when this all gets going.
Well, it's not that I'm you know, discrediting any other team, especially not the Raptors after the year they had last year. But I'm just going with my picks, and those are my three picks. Just looking at the talent level of those three teams, I think they have the best chances. In Toronto, like you said, they have a bunch of guys who, and it's important in the NBA when you're building culture, they have a bunch of guys who are extremely happy to be where they are and extremely happy to be in their role. And in other people's eyes, they overachieve. I never look at like a guy like Kyle as an overachiever. I look at him doing exactly what he's supposed to do. VanVleet as well. I think, you know, being a smaller guard, being in that same situation, I know exactly what he went through coming into the league and, you know, trying to keep his foot and make his stamp, put his stamp on the league. And he's done a great job, both of those guys. Kyle is one of my favorite players just because we kind of, while he was in college, we kind of hooked up for a few years and we put a lot of work in the gym together.
Speaking with Jameer Nelson. Jameer, you know, you're in a gym right now. I assume it's a damn near empty gym. When it comes to playing games.
Me and myself.
Yeah, good. But when it comes to playing games, how much do you think that's going to impact these guys? You know, they're going to be playing in front of some NBA personnel. There's going to be some players that are in the stands that don't feel like sitting in their hotel rooms. But, you know, we're talking about playing in front of, you know, 50 or 100 or a couple hundred at most versus, you know, 5, 10, 20, 25,000 people. Does that matter, or does it just come down to going back to the grassroots when you were a kid, whether it be in a gym or playing somewhere out on the street somewhere where it didn't matter that there were no fans? It was the ball goes up and I want to win. Is that ultimately what's going to kick in for a lot of guys?
Absolutely. We can't have it no other way. So that's exactly how guys have to think about it. It's me and my team versus the other team, and that's it. Nobody has a home court advantage. Nobody obviously can feed off the crowd. So it's going to come down to just straight basketball. And that's good. That's good to see. And, you know, unfortunately you would like to have fans or anything like that, but it's an opportunity for guys to really, one, express their self, but two, put their self on a bigger platform when it comes to the social injustice and police brutality. That's one reason why I'm happy that basketball's back. But, you know, it is scary with the pandemic and the virus going on. So, like I said, it's trial and error with all this stuff. But it, ultimately, I don't think it's going to affect too many guys. I think they'll just play. And because when you're practicing, nobody's watching. And not saying practice is the same as the game, but guys are going hard. So I think guys will figure out how to play and how to kick it in gear when that time comes.
Hey, Jameer, have you started to notice any tangible differences, you know, in little things in society? I know that we've got people asking more questions, people wanting to learn. You know, a lot of the older heads that we've talked to, you know, people like Wayne Embry, Dominique Wilkins, I mean, they've been encouraged by the diversity in the protesters. Are you seeing any of that? Are you seeing this thing heading in the right direction? Are you seeing it losing momentum? What tangible gains or you know, retreats are you seeing with society right now?
Well, I think it's the most important thing that happened is the protests and the conversations that have been had so far. We just have to continue to piggyback off of that as a country and move forward and figure out what's the next plan. Because you don't, you know, something that, like I said, the protests and everything that's happened has been so good, you don't want that to, you know, die on a vine. We have to continue to do things to stick together and to put together a plan so everybody is treated equal. I mean, you know, we always say equality. How do we get to that? And you know, and it comes from the top. It comes from the top and starts there. And just like a basketball team, you know, you guys have Masai there in Toronto. It starts from the top, and he did a great job last year of putting the right pieces around Kawhi, Ty, and Siakam, and you guys won a championship.